Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.
Let's get underway.
Saturdays were made for this. The biggest names and the biggest games. Right here.
Woo! For King G, where comfort is king.
1, 2, 3, 4. Hey, ho, let's go. Triple M rocks the NRL.
Welcome to the Triple M Saturday Scrum.
So nice to be packing down in the scrum once more on a Saturday afternoon alongside the best in the business. Mark Guy's with us. Emma Lawrence is with us and Ryan Girdler as ever. Hello to all three of you. My name is Tony Squires. Great to be with you. MG, I'm standing next to a couple of people who are just bursting with energy after the regime, I think, that is just spreading through this show like wildfire. The cold shower notion, it's come from you. You've been trying this, MG, at all? Well, you heard about what's going on?
Last night, calling the game with Girds last night, he gave me the Wim Hof.
The Wim Hof.
Wim Hof.
Yeah,
okay. It's not a wrestling move, Tony. No?
And he's a really hardcore dude who wears no shirt in the middle of the snow, and he's just all about his breathing. And Gerds is kind of that Byron Bay's type dude, you know?
Yeah.
He has a go at everything.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Em's been doing it for a while.
I've been doing
she
it
loves
as well.
The cold shower. For different reasons, obviously.
Okay.
No, my brother started doing it, and I thought he was crazy. And then he said, no, trust me. You come out, you're full of energy, and it also helps with your response to stress because it activates the parasympathetic nervous system.
That's
so
right.
I got all the rundown on why it's good, and so you have to do a couple of breathing techniques before you go in.
Yeah.
Then once you're in, you do a certain type of breathing, and honestly, it's only the first, I think, 30 seconds that you just think, I want to get out of here, but then you just get used to it, and I've never felt better. You just jump out. You're ready to tackle the day and take on the world. I highly recommend it, Tony.
Okay. And your recommendation?
Well, yeah. Like I didn't know Em was doing it, but yeah, I've been doing it for a little while now. The techniques for a couple of months and some other things I've been, trialing. But the cold shower thing's been happening now for a little while, Tony. And yeah, like Em said, controlling that part of your nervous system is really important. And the benefits, I believe, are unbelievable. So anyone out there listening, he's got a great app, Wim Hof.
Yep.
Go and check it out. It's free. And, it's worth a try.
Cold shower. Okay.
Cold shower.
Katoni Staggs may have tried that.
Can we call you Katoni Squires today?
Katoni Squires.
Yeah. No, Tony Staggs.
Yeah. Hey, that's better. That's a good name, Tony Staggs. Hey, just another question I need to ask you, just as a catch-up, because I haven't seen you for a couple of weeks. Has any of you worn a mask over the past week?
Yes.
Yes.
I wore one. I wore one Thursday. Coming here on Thursday for Thursday night footy, I wore one walking through World Square, and just to be precautious. You don't know.
Could you imagine MG 6'4", 6'5", coming out with a big mask on?
And I had a beanie on as well.
Did you really?
Did people just start handing you their money and mobile phones and things?
If you have to go to the bank, that's a worry.
I walked past the bank and a couple of people ran inside it.
Have you found that there's that, and obviously there's the mask debate going on over in the US at the moment.
What did you say? What?
The mask debate.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, they said
something
else.
It's everywhere, the mask debate. Tony, we're having it now.
Yeah, absolutely.
But, the divide between the mask wearers and the non-mask wearers when you go to shopping centres.
Yep.
But, the mask wearers look at you like, irresponsible.
Correct.
And you're not and you're not doing the right thing. And the non-mask wearers look at the mask wearers like they're just weirdos. What are you doing?
We've got to stop that divide. We've got to come together, absolutely.
Yeah.
Maybe we can have a meeting at the Bayview Hotel in Woi Woi, although we can't because no Sydneysiders are allowed in the pub. They've got a new rule. No,
is that right?
Oh, really?
Nobody from Sydney is allowed at the Bayview Hotel in Woi Woi.
Oh, wow. That was my old stomping ground.
Total discrimination, Tony. That is. Is that even legal?
It's your premises.
I don't know if you can do that. I could do that on the northern beaches. I could stop Maroon coming to some of my cafes, which would be fantastic.
What are you talking about?
If you're from Little Bay, you're not allowed into my cafe.
Many reasons. But what are you talking about? I mean, they're closing entire borders and states. You're saying you can't close a pub
down. Yeah, but we're all in New South Wales together. We're in this together. You can't be on the Central Coast and discriminate people that are just in Sydney, like an hour down the road. That makes no sense at all.
I think the Knights may be doing that with
the
game today.
So if you're from Sydney, you're not allowed into the stadium.
There are a few exceptions.
Wow. Are you one of those exceptions?
I am an exception today, actually. I'm an exception today because it's my brother's 250th game.
Yes. Yes.
So
congratulations, Chris.
I thought we weren't going to be allowed to go up to Newcastle and spoke with the Tigers, and they said no, because it's a milestone game. Apparently it's in the CBA agreement that you do have to get tickets for families for a milestone game. Okay. So we did get some tickets, but I think in general they are limiting.
You're just going to be in the isolation box.
We are in a box. Maybe it's just us and no
That's
one else.
Right. No catering. No one's coming in. No one's going out. You just watch the game and
no
go
air.
It's like ice hockey when you get sent off and you go in that little box at 5 minutes.
Right.
There you go. You're in the hockey box.
Exactly. All right. We've got so much to get to today. I think the news that is coming through that we understand that the very good friend of the show, a man is here regularly, Nathan Brown, will be named the new Warriors coach. And we are going to have a chat. Brownie has agreed. It's so good of him. We'll have a chat later on in the show. Sterlo will also be here. Todd Payton, who is currently doing a brilliant job with the Warriors, he will also join us. And look at that Tyre Power scoreboard as well. South Sydney over the Broncos, 28 points to 10. We'll get there next. The Roosters, too good for the Dragons, doing it for Mitch Orbison, 24-16. The Roosters were the winners. And as I said, the Warriors over Manly, a bit of a shock that one, although Manly have been carrying injuries and continue to do so. 26 points to 22. So much to get to on this show on a Saturday afternoon, all leading to the Storm taking on the Bulldogs. As Triple M rocks the footy, well, thanks to King G.
The Triple M Saturday Scrum for King G, where comfort is king. Triple M rocks footy.
MG, Emma Lawrence, Ryan Girdle, Tony Squires with you last night. South Sydney over the Broncos, 28 points to 10. It was the stats just continue to pile up in a really negative way for the Broncos, don't they? Their 10th defeat in their past 11 games. Mm. If you look at the NRL ladder, they sit in second last with the Bulldogs below them. The Bulldogs have a chance to slide past and put the Broncos on the bottom of the ladder. Their for and against, the percentage is minus 223, the for and against. It's quite remarkable what has been going on in Brisbane. I don't suppose that the loss last night will give terribly many people a lot of encouragement, although there were some things. Obviously, the return of David Fifita was a positive.
Yep.
Dearden at halfback was terrific. So there's small things to grab hold of.
Cathony Staggs is always, you know, he's a fantastic player. He's a representative centre in the future. But yeah, I think they've just got that psyche that they forget what it's like to win. And you know, last night when Fifita scored that tritone, looked like they were coming back, a little bit of a mini resurgence. But yeah, it was. I'm actually feeling sorry for the Broncos at the minute, the baby Broncos. I watched them play and they look like they need a bit of a hug after a game, you know. Just come here, mate, and give me a cuddle.
That's very true, and it's interesting, wasn't it? Because the one game they did win was when they decided to, it was basically the team took over and they had a different style of week.
It's a concern, Tony, when the coach comes out after you get beat again by, you know, 20 points, but you've had 30 points basically put on you, and over the last couple of weeks we've seen some pretty dramatic losses when the coach comes out and says, I can't fault the effort. If it's not the effort, then what is it that they're not getting? What is it? What sort of message are you trying to deliver as, you know, the leader of that organisation that the people in the organisation do not understand?
But he can't come out and slam them every week, can he?
No.
He has to be positive, doesn't he, and say, because if he's saying to the media, oh, that's not good enough, that's disgraceful, all of that sort of business, aren't the players going to start? I mean, if they're not already off him, they will be. I mean, doesn't he have to be positive in some respect when he comes out and speaks about their performance?
Because
you can't have 8 weeks in a row of him ripping into them.
But he needs to find some answers as the coach. I mean, that's the problem. If the effort from the players is where you want it to be, what is it that you need more from? Like he spoke about the back end of their sets, and sure did and came in, and I thought that was a real positive and made you wonder why he hasn't played more first grade this year. I know he's young, and his kicking game was nowhere near as polished as that of Reynolds and Walker, who are obviously really good at that craft, and that changed the dynamic of the game in some sense. But Lodge was back. Fifita was back. They had Darius back at fullback, sort of doing some pretty good things. Staggs was back. Milford was out. But they're kind of resembling a side now that it just doesn't warrant being second last. If the Bulldogs win today, they end up being last on the table.
And
that's not a roster that should be down the bottom of the table.
If you put the Bulldogs' effort into that Broncos team's body, they'd be in the top four.
Wow, that's a great way to look at it. That's actually very, very... Like,
honestly, the Dogs give their all every week. They don't deserve to be on the bottom. They give their guts. They really try hard, and they just haven't got the cattle. On the other hand, the Broncos have got the cattle, but they haven't got the fortitude that someone like the Dogs have got.
Well, the perfect example was that Mark Nichols try, where he just Jake Turpin just bounced off. I honestly think that's one of the easiest tries anyone has ever scored, surely.
Because it was Turpin, but then it was Matt Lodge.
Lodge and Haas.
Yeah,
I think.
That's right.
Yep.
Behind. That's the problem, and it's exactly what you say, MG. But it's because once they get the opposition gets down within 10 metres of the try line, it's going to be a try.
Yeah.
It's going to be a try. You talked about the coach, and I just want to have a listen to what he had to say after the game.
I can't fault the effort in the guys tonight. Yeah, but probably the difference between the teams was, was the penalty count. And, there's a couple of decisions there that, quite frankly, the players and myself and the other coach and staff just, I suppose, were left a little bit bewildered with. So some of the penalties in around the escorts in particular, but it's certainly not an excuse why we lost. But probably the position we're in, we're sitting second last on the ladder, and 50-50 calls don't generally go to teams sitting down the bottom of the table. So I'll have a look at it, but... is very frustrated in some of the decisions.
I should point out that Anthony Seibold did obviously talk about other things in that. It wasn't just saying it was the referees, but saying that was part of, his frustration as well.
Well, look, there was a couple of corkers last night went against them, but, adversity brings adventure in other teams when they keep getting penalised. Well, they kind of batten down the hatches and go, okay, let's get ourselves out of this. But they just haven't got the intestinal fortitude or the ticker at the minute to just bite down on their mouth guard and say, come on, bring it on. They're really, at the moment, they're the type of team that are kind of walking around in circles. Tevita Pengai Jr. coming out through the week, and we hear that he wants out. And I kind of agree with Gerds to a certain degree, saying that I think Seibold sounds the same after each loss. And I'd like him to get angry. I'd like him to say it's not good enough for this Broncos jersey. It's not good enough. It's like he's too scared to tread on toes. And a coach shouldn't be like that. A coach has got to, he's got to tell these guys exactly. Or you might tell them behind closed doors the cold hard truths. But he leaves us in the media and the fans thinking, well, that's not a really good response to a team that's just been beaten by so much when they're doing it week in week out. I don't know what the answers are for the Broncos. Is it Seibold who has to go, or someone else has to go? But at the moment, when you've got a team like the Broncos coming second last,
it's such a fine line, MG, isn't it? Getting that balance right, that man management aspect of coaching. I mean, it's okay to speak about leadership and to have some qualifications in certain areas, but to know, and I think generally it comes through experience and making people accountable and knowing when someone needs to be dropped and knowing when someone needs a bit of a cuddle and individually. And I don't think you can necessarily always, get the right response out in a press conference immediately after a game, but it's more about how you manage those relationships through the week. And if you understand, if everyone, is buying into what you're trying to do and recognising all those different machinations of actually being the leader of that footy club. And there's so many, it's such a difficult thing, and look, they get paid really well, coaches, and they need to have all those boxes ticked. And I think a lot of the anguish comes from the Broncos fans that think, okay, so if we paid, $400,000 for a coach that, hasn't probably ticked all the boxes, hasn't got a lot of experience, but he's bringing some potential and we're going to have to ride some bumps over the next couple of years. Well, I get that. But if you pay $800,000 for a coach, you're bringing a guy in that's, you're hoping has ticked all the boxes and been through all this before and knows how to get your club out of this situation, but clearly doesn't because he hasn't been there before and has been put in this situation for some reason through poor administration, through his own management or whatever it may be. And it all just adds to this problem, which is seeing, one of the best organisations we've seen in our competition crumbling. Yep. The foundations are going, Tony, on a weekly basis. Something needs to change. It's not good enough coming out anymore, and saying everything was okay. Oh, we're getting better. Oh, there's little improvements. It wasn't a rebuild, that club. It was going in there to be successful. They've got the roster to do it. They've made some bad calls, but they need to find a way out.
Right. What about the other side of the field, the Cardinal and Myrtle? The Rabbitohs did it without their coach, who was sitting at home on the couch watching movies. Jason Demetrio was in charge. What'd you make of their performance? Wet weather footy, and they've got a couple of guys who can kick a footy pretty beautifully in those conditions, and they seem to control the game.
Yeah, Adam Reynolds, what a difference he made. He missed most of last week's match when he came off injured, but and I guess there are question marks. He obviously wanted to stand up, but you mentioned before the fact that his kicking game was a significant difference between that of the inexperienced Tom Dearden, and I think there were 5 or 6 repeat sets that he got, and that's how they built the momentum and built the pressure and then eventually came through with a couple of tries. Tom Burgess late in the game. So Adam Reynolds was interviewed after the game and he said that's what he loves doing. He grew up just kicking the footy around the backyard and that it just comes so instinctively to him, and that's one of his key strengths, that kicking game, and I think that was a major difference last night.
And ominously, Latrell's starting to warm up.
Yeah.
Latrell's starting to get his mojo. And you can just see him running the ball back last night with a bit more vigour, starting to bump blokes. You know, you can just see that he's starting to warm to fullback. He's starting to get match fit as fullback, and that's dangerous for other sides. Really is. And I like the way these young forwards are coming through too. Bailey Sirenin, very much improved. Very much improved player. Good to see Jack Johns get on the field last night as well. He's a good defensive back row, Jackie, and he's, you know, obviously was a 5'8 and a half back in the juniors. And I just like the way Souths are starting to build there. You know, obviously James Roberts is out, but Campbell Graham's grown a bit of a leg in the centres. And I like Souths. I really like the way they're going at the moment. Cody Walker's just he's in a rich patch of form, and I think he's playing better now than he was when he was picked for Origin.
They're just an underrated pack that just go about their business, don't they? Totola, I really like.
Oh, yeah,
I think
player.
Tom's playing really great footy. MG spoke about some of the juniors that are coming through. Nichols is coming on and getting a job done off the bench, which just allows the halves to have some time. I think Damien Cook, we're starting to see now really settle into his role where, you know, if they've got more possession and he's not under so much fatigue because, you know, they've opened the middle up and he's doing extra defence, he's starting to run a little bit more. But the thing about with Cody, and we spoke to him last week and mentioned about his leadership, you know, it's not always about what he does with the football, Cody. I think defensively last night he took on Fifita, which was a great battle.
Yeah, it was great.
And he was more focused on winning that battle than he really was about doing all the nice little touches with the ball. They all come naturally, but when he's got an aggressive mindset like that, those South boys all follow him, and they did last night, and they're building nicely.
Yeah, he's
I think Broncos would have hoped Gary Schofield, the ex-England legend, could have kept his comments to himself, because I think he's inspired Reynolds for a man of the match performance, saying that he looks like he plays in, is it a movie or something? I didn't get that. What was Gaz on about there?
Yeah, just standing around waiting for the director to tell him what to do.
did he say that?
Yeah.
Must be much to talk about in the English Super League.
Is the Super League started yet or not?
Unbelievable.
Apparently.
Has it?
Apparently.
Just started.
Just letting you know that Nathan Brown has officially been named as the new Warriors coach.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that next.
So does that mean he's going to be on here next year, Tony, or not?
Probably not, though. Yes, he's answering some
Is he going to break his contract? Is that okay now? Valandis has said you can have two contracts.
That means no more sickies.
How well did he do, though? On the last minute on Thursday night, the night that the news broke that he was reportedly going to sign, and Dan and MG absolutely hammered him in the studio.
Was Dan
after the scoop, was he, MG?
Dan was 60 Minutes. I was more National News.
Parker was on the case.
He was very good. He didn't give anything away.
No.
But,
straight bat.
Well, the good news is he's going to join us later in the show. So he'll chat all those things he couldn't say on Thursday night. He will be able to say this afternoon right here on The Scrum. Thanks to King G.
The Triple M Saturday Scrum for King G, where comfort is king. Triple M rocks footy.
Nathan Brown will take over the Warriors coaching job. Todd Payton, as we know, is the interim coach. But Brownie will take over from next season. Of course, he has been there earlier in the year before all the COVID-19 operations. He was involved as an assistant at the Warriors. He will take over the full-time job. It's a 3-year contract. And as has been widely talked about in the media, Phil Gould will be employed as a club consultant. Mm-hmm. There's been talk about pathways that he's interested. So I read today that, of course, Gus had been planning to become a player manager, had applied for that, but he withdrew.
Was going to work for the NRL as well there at a point. Wasn't he going to do some pathway stuff there as well?
He was talking. I guess that may still be on the cards. I'm
no,
not sure.
Well, yeah, there'd be a conflict of interest there, yeah.
Well, there's conflict of interest everywhere you look, isn't there, in rugby league?
Yeah.
Everybody's in the media.
But I think I'm really happy for Brownie, because, you know, when he took over Newcastle, I mean, the club was in a totally different state than what he's going to find, you know, the Warriors after what's been a difficult season. But I think what they'll take out of, you know, what they've been able to do so far, and obviously they've still got some time to go into next year, I think they can really leverage off that. But he's already got some quality players over there. And I think Toddy Payton, who we're going to speak to later anyway, he came on and said, look, it's not a rebuild. And I agree with him. They've got some key players in key positions that, you know, show some real good promise for the future. Obviously, Rogers at the back. They've got young Egan that they've brought there from Panthers at playing number nine, and Lawton, who's going great and only getting better on a weekly basis now. I think he was a back row that now has been transitioning over the last few seasons into dummy half, doing a great job actually keeping Egan on the bench at the moment. Harris DeVita and Nick Arima worked really well together last night. And then you've got, you know, your big outside backs with Fusatu and Mamalo. You've got Jazz Tavanga, who's playing great football, Tohu Harris. So, I mean, they've got a quality side. They probably lack, you know, two or three players, which, you know, Brownie needs to bring in, maybe a Jack DeBell and all the like. Or
Brownie's mentioned that multiple times. He's got his eyes on DeBell.
So, you know, a couple of players for that. And then Brownie, you know, gets to take over a decent roster with, you know, the help of Gus, and hopefully gets into some finals. And he's not actually, you know, starting again.
That's the thing, right? Start further up the mountain than at the foot of the mountain. It would be great to see him so he can get to the summit.
Look, I think it's a fantastic move from Brownie. I think it's one that he will just love. I think it's, as you mentioned, I spoke to him. I was at a luncheon earlier in the year with him. He was just about to go and consult for the first time with the Warriors in about February, obviously before the COVID-19 lockdown. And he was so excited. You know, he said there's some pathways put in over there. They've got an under-20s comp, which is kind of really getting stronger and stronger, which is keeping them kids who are on the peripheral who'd go to Union staying in league, which is fantastic for the code in New Zealand. And having someone like Phil Gould, like, there's no bigger name in the game, really, than Gus Gould. And when you have him on your side as a lobbyist, as you know, someone, if they want to get a centre built like the excellence of Penrith, which cost $15 million, which he kind of lent on James Packer for, well, Gus is the man to get that same type of thing happening in New Zealand for these young blokes coming through. It's a win-win for New Zealand Warriors. It's a really smart move from them to combine the old and the new. Obviously, Brownie's great at rebuilding, and he's kind of an old-school coach in a new world. And I think Gus Gould will be able to, you know, just be that shoulder to lean on and kind of deflect all the stuff away from footy from Brownie that he can just concentrate on coaching a rugby league team.
Plenty of people have a knock on Phil Gould, don't they? And they would claim that, for example, Panthers' success has come to fruition post Phil Gould, that he can be a difficult presence overlooking a coach.
Mm.
But used correctly, you think it's going to be only a bonus for Nathan Brown.
But he deserves a lot of credit for what he's done, and potentially he did reach his use-by date there at Penrith. But look at all of those players like Jerome Luai, Nathan Cleary, Dylan Edwards, all of those players that came through the juniors. They played 20s together, won a 20s comp there. And that's why that's at least part of the reason why the Panthers are doing so well. He overhauled all of their junior systems, and that's what he can bring to the Warriors. Because even speaking to someone like Michael Maguire, who's obviously the Kiwis coach, and he had said one of the issues at the moment is the fact that over in New Zealand, recently anyway, some of the funding has been pulled with all of that junior development. So they need to ramp that up again and try and get the juniors staying over there. Because what they do a lot of the time is they bring them over at, say, 15, 16. The boys might get homesick. They have lots of issues. Some of them struggle with, you know, even things like depression. And then they end up giving up or going back home. But if they can stay in that stable environment, play in a comp, MG, like you mentioned, over there, and you can get them. And the biggest challenge in the first place is just getting them to stay with league and not with union. Because
The All Blacks.
The lure of the All Blacks, absolutely.
Benji Marshall and Sean Johnson always talk to that fact that it's union and it's so hard. You have to have someone like Sean Johnson says the reason he chose league was because of someone like Benji Marshall. And if you don't have those, I guess, iconic figures staying and someone for them to look up to, I guess that's something. I think that's something that Gus can bring, getting them to at least stay in league, having the pathways and having an environment where exactly what's happened at Penrith, you're breeding players and it's a homegrown nursery,
and
really.
And it cushions that relationship between, like, there's a new ambitious owner there, but he's inexperienced in the sporting world. So, you know, Gus can be the wedge between, you know, him and Brownie. And so, you know, they can be erratic. And I think, you know, he obviously came out and said some things about Blake Green in the press as an owner that obviously have led one way or another to Blake leaving, you know, at a pretty crucial stage. And then Toddy Payton sort of having to deal with that as well as all the other challenges as he has been the Auckland Warriors coach. So Gus can just provide a little bit of stability in those areas as well. And I think Brownie be a lot more comfortable knowing that Gus is going to be there for that.
All right, so that's one piece in the jigsaw. Nathan Brown, the Warriors. Where does the rest of the coaches end up? Where does Paul Green end up? Where does Todd Payton, you'd think, and we'll speak with him a little bit later on in the show.
I think Toddy Payton's got the Cowboys gig. I think the way that all went down on NRL 360 last week when he kind of done the interview, pre-recorded the interview and phoned back to the producer and said, have you aired it yet? And he said, because I want to change it, I want to go live. And when we saw him live, he wasn't in his Warriors polo anymore. He was just in a grey sloppy Joe. And he said, you know, he was pretty up in front and open. And I kind of felt for him a bit. You know, his wife's dad is battling, going through chemotherapy. And I've got a dad doing the same at the moment. So I know exactly how he feels. It's you feel helpless sometimes. And I suppose another 3 years in New Zealand probably wasn't the last, well, probably wasn't the thing that he kind of wanted to do. I don't think he would have said that on the show if he didn't have the Cowboys job locked away. I think he would have been the – look, I think the Warriors' job was his for the taking, and they obviously offered it to him, but I think at the 11th hour he must have got a call, and we'll ask him this, from his management or from Peter Parr to say that the job's yours if you want it, and that's kind of why this all unfolded like it did.
It seems like, yeah, he does have that. And the fact that he was an assistant there already, he knows the players or a large majority of them, the board knows that area better for, I guess, family reasons as well. And just speaking to those that have been coached by him, they seem to say that he's got that ability to, you know, you talk about man management, Gerds, and it's about getting the best out of someone when you've got to get stuck into them, when you've got to give them a cuddle. Apparently he's got that, and he just knows who needs what at what time, but at the same time is not afraid to
make hard calls.
Yeah, and when sometimes you can't be their best mate. So he's those that have been coached by him say, yeah, he's got that ability to be tough, but also, you know, give you a cuddle when you need. So he's inexperienced, but yeah,
he's been in a lot of different systems. Yeah. I think the way that he's handled this Warriors position, not just from the results on the field, but away from this, from that area too, has been really challenging. I think he's done it brilliantly.
He has. And we get to speak with him. And repeating, we get to speak with Nathan Brown, who has just been announced today. Will be speaking to nobody else today, but us a little bit later on. He is the Warriors coach from next season. What I really like about Todd Payton is he leaves the light on in the coach's box during the game at night time. Most of them turning off these days. You've seen that?
No, I didn't notice that.
They're operating in the dark, and he's got the light on.
For a night game,
he has the light on.
Has the light on. Yeah,
there's a lot of light off action going on in the coach's box. I'm not sure what it's about. But we'll ask Todd Payton one of many of the searching, withering questions.
That's the questions. First question. That is a hard-hitting 60-minute style question straight away.
For instance, Desi had his off last night.
He had his off,
and he's still got his off at home after that loss. Get out of bed.
Absolutely. This is the Saturday Scrum. Thanks to King G.
The Triple M Saturday Scrum for King G, where comfort is king. Triple M rocks footy.
Indeed, we do on a Saturday afternoon, all heading towards kickoff. The Storm taking on the Bulldogs. Sterler will join us at 2 o'clock. We're going to speak with Nathan Brown, Todd Payton as well. It's an absolutely jam-packed show. Obviously, one of the biggest stories during the week was the fact that Wayne Bennett, who went to the beautiful Grappa restaurant, it's a very good feed.
I wish I was with him. Yeah.
Oh, it's very good. Quite expensive on the new side.
Yeah. What would you recommend?
It ended up pretty expensive, didn't it?
It did. Well, it only cost him, $20,000 for a bit of pasta, which is okay. Well, Nathan
Handmade
Buckley,
pasta.
Linguine.
Crafted.
Linguine.
Beautiful linguine there. It's really, really good. I'm not sure it's worth $20,000, but it's certainly good.
But so that's over the Anzac Bridge, Tony, from you. You've never been there. You just read reviews on the way to work, being the professional that you are.
Uber Eats, they bring it to me.
Oh, do they?
Yeah. Okay. It's like I can't go to the Bayview, obviously, and I don't go across Anzac Parade. There was that. He wasn't there last night. Wayne Bennett, as South Sydney got over the top of the Broncos, and I think that will again be next week. It's a 2-week ban for him for breaching the.
So we can't win the Dally M.
That's right. That's 6 points gone.
Wow, Ballot Wayne.
3 points per week. Alfie Langer is also one of a number of Broncos who are involved. Now, he was at a pub, I think it might have been the Caxton, celebrating his birthday. Yeah. Happy birthday, Alf.
Whoever goes to the Caxton should just get, you know, 2 weeks quarantine regardless.
Yes. Right.
Where you're from, what you're doing.
I've been to the Caxton.
Okay, Don. Stay in the cupboard for 2 weeks.
Hello, Brisbane.
Hello, Brisbane.
So we are illegally crossing the border via airwaves.
Yes.
Yeah, so don't call Danny. Paul Vaughan from the Dragons, who went to have some brekkie on the morning of the match against the Roosters.
Yeah, Mary was very, very peeved for that one.
Exactly.
The worst part about that is he used a fake name.
Yeah. Yes, he did, didn't
Michael
he?
Wayman apparently went with.
James Bond, I thought it was. Was it? Michael Wayman would be good. Michael Wayman got... so Vaughan, I think, was his a $10,000 hit, and he, of course, that's 2 weeks as well, so he missed the Roosters game and will miss next week as well for the Dragons. We can talk about those punishments. First, let's have a listen, though, to Prime Minister Peter Vlandis as he was speaking on Dead Set Legends this very morning.
You're taking a massive risk when you go out. If they have to take that infection back into the bubble, well, it means the whole game stops. Every player has a responsibility to themselves in the game, because not only will not they not be able to earn their wages, the future generations of rugby league players won't be able to earn their wages, because it'll have a catastrophic financial effect.
Yeah, the potential cost is huge, obviously. So it's hard to say that they're harsh, the punishments that have been handed out. I do feel a little bit sorry for all of them, and I've felt sorry for players for quite some time, especially those who were perhaps based in New South Wales, where the rest of the community were being eased in terms of the restrictions, yet their restrictions weren't and aren't. I mean, they had a little bit of time where it was loosened slightly, but when you're seeing people in the rest of the community going out and having a meal, I don't know that I could hack it.
There's no doubt about it that it's tough. It definitely is tough. And we speak about, and everyone in the community, when we were all in lockdown as well, everyone faced these challenges. It is mentally tough. You want to go out, you're socialising with others. It's good for your mental well-being. So there is no doubt about it. They are doing a great job. It's hard. And yes, we commend them for that. But on the other side of the coin, as Peter Vlandis said, the consequences are catastrophic. The only other option is the game could potentially be stopped. They won't get paid. Everyone in the game will lose their jobs. So that's just the sacrifice. It's unfortunate, but it's a sacrifice they have to make. And they know the rules. They all know the rules. I know Wayne Bennett said we're very confused, but the clubs get daily updates about what the rules are, where the hotspots are. I've seen some of the documents. It is so clear. All of the staff and all of the players know what they can and can't.
I mean, that whole I'm confused sort of a 7-year-old. It wasn't his partner was cutting his food up for him at the restaurant. I'm not sure. But I don't think it was really an age thing at all. I think it's – and the question, I guess, MG, is that, I mean, Wayne Bennett mentioned about other meals that he had out. It's hard to work – perhaps this sort of thing is secretly going on.
It's like when you got busted at school for doing something wrong and you just – open your heart out. You go, and I've done that, and I've done this, and I.
And it wasn't just me, sir.
Look, I've got to confess to this as well. It's like he was, I think the fines are apt. I think, you know, I just got to stay the course, boys. It's been 11 weeks, and exactly what Em said, us, you know, who can have a little bit more liberties than the rugby league players at the moment, we really don't know what they're going through, because they'd be getting stir crazy, and especially guys who need their freedom when they're locked away for such a time. But there's a bigger picture than individuals. It's the game. It's we've done remarkably well to get where we are at this stage. And it's been through hard work. It's been through Vlandis. It's been through every club, every player, every official. Everyone's got to toe the line. And when someone doesn't, this is exactly what happens. It blows up, because we're like that big tree that's getting chopped down by the axe. And sooner or later, if the bits keep getting coming out of the tree, we're going to fall down, and we can't afford that to happen. It's, you know, the people who love rugby league in this city depend on it more than we know.
I get the feeling that it might have been a timely reminder to the code as well. You know, if Wayne's out there dabbling a little bit, and you've got guys now just feeling confident enough to go for breakfast and do some things like that, this might have been the correction, a timely correction that the whole code needed amongst the playing group and all the officials that are in the bubble, that, hey, it's not on. And, you know, essentially it was irresponsible, but it might actually save us from something further down the track.
That's a good point.
Canberra coach Ricky Stewart, he certainly made no bones about it. It was the wrong thing to do.
I love to go to the pub, have a beer with my mates. I love to go out to lunch or go to dinner with the family, but you can't. They're just tough times at the moment, but under tough times you find out the true character of people. We've got to be understanding and mindful of what's at stake here. It's a multi-million-dollar business at stake here. We've just got to be very mindful of that.
Absolutely right. I'd love to go to the Bayview Hotel in Woi Woi, but I can't. That's simply... But
you would have spent a few hours up at the Bayview.
Never been there. Until I read this morning, I never wanted to go there. But now I'm great desperate pub. To get to the Bayview.
It's a great pub. Great
All
pub.
I want to do is go to that Bayview Hotel.
I might head up there on...
You're from Sydney. You cannot go to the Bayview Hotel.
No. Oh. Mm. Of course.
Have you spied Carol on his jet ski across to Edelong? Can he still do that?
Yes. Maybe you can get
We might have to get jet skis.
I might sign in with a fake name and fake address like Paul Vaughan, actually.
Yeah. Do not do it, okay? Obviously, kids, be responsible. No, act responsibly. Wear a mask. Make sure you put your right details when you go to a hotel. Mm. And socially distanced. There you go. Uncle Tony's got it all for you. The Roosters and the Dragons, we're going to get there next. Plus, the Cam Smith quiz. All ahead, Saturday Scrum.
Saturday Scrum for King G, where comfort is king. Triple M rocks footy.
Nice to be with you, Emma Lawrence, Ryan Girdler, Mark Guy, Tony Squires. We were talking about the bubble and the bursting that has been going on this past week.
Good. Well, you know, maybe there should be cafes within the bubble. So they,
I was thinking of putting a bubble section in the cafe so the Manly boys could come in when they get a little bit of spare time. But we do have, just on that, hello to all the police officers down at Dooway. They've been coming past the shop on a regular basis just to check on different things. As long as they're doing that,
let me seem to love
to
your
all
your shop
the cafes, it would be appreciated. But they're certainly popping into mine. And, you got to do the
Why
right
do you
thing.
Think that is?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure. You'd have to ask them.
Do you give them a coffee?
I don't give anyone anything, Tony.
Maybe if you gave them free coffees,
no, they don't expect free. They don't, I mean, that's a form of bribery. I mean, that's not how I operate. Just want to make sure that everyone's on the same plane, on the playing surface.
I'd be saying every policeman walk past, want a free coffee, brother? Just in case I need you somewhere down the track.
You should get yourself into the bubbles, a little bubble cafe.
A little bubble cafe.
Yeah, a bubble restaurant.
A pop-up bubble.
Pop-up bubble. It just works.
What about when you need to quarantine for 14 days? Before you come into the bubble?
No.
Why would
because
you?
It's already been...
Well, before you start your bubble?
No, before people are allowed into the bubble, they've got to quarantine for 2 weeks. Otherwise, I can't have them in there with the Manly
boys.
You just
got to set them up within the bubbles that are already
That's
exist.
Right.
What you've got to do is, you know, so you have to one in Queensland, perhaps, in Sydney, where these clubs are. So they've got a little somewhere to go to.
Okay.
Tell you what you could do. You could go into one of the clubs, into their setup where they, you know, at their... Leagues Club or wherever they are training, and you could bring Girdler's Cafe to them. So they could get the Girdler's Cafe experience. They're in their
clean zone.
They're in their clean zone. You can bring everything, the Holy Avo, that's one of my favourites there. You can bring, what about that?
Okay, that's a great idea. Looking for some marketing ideas.
We're full of good ideas. I'll give you a call through the week.
Let's workshop these ideas.
What's Wim Hof got to say about it?
Wim, well, I think Wayne's working on his Wim Hof techniques at the moment, apparently.
Let's just breathe through this.
Ladies and gentlemen, 3 in 5.
I love Tony's sessions. I love the 3 in 5.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. 3 in 5.
Since last week or the week before, we did a different version of 3 in 5. We did the Sonny Bill William quiz.
Yeah, we did.
Which has now been nominated for a radio award. So I thought, well, I'll continue with that theme.
Okay.
So Maroon brought a terrible segment last week.
What was it?
It was the trivia.
Maroon's trivia.
And then we didn't even end up doing it because you used your buzzer incorrectly and you said Gary Girdler, so we stopped it.
Yeah. I have to use my correct name, Tony, otherwise it's just not accepted.
Really?
Yeah, under Maroon's watch.
Okay.
Well, that's why we love you so much
Maroon,
better, Tony.
No wonder he's on Sundays.
Anything goes here. because, bizarrely, we don't have Cameron Smith playing rugby league this week, I thought we'd have a Cameron Smith quiz. You've got to get him involved somehow. In the weekend. So it is the Cameron Smith quiz, and you will have to use your names as your buzzers. If you could test those for me, please.
MG.
Is that what you're going with?
Yeah.
Oh, I love it. MG, yes, and?
Emma.
All right.
Gary, you could do yours?
That's what his is.
Oh, he's a SpongeBob. What's that?
That's my buzzer.
Yeah.
Buzzer. Question number one, how old is Cameron Smith?
Emma.
Yes, Emma.
37.
How many NRL games has he played? Yes.
423.
Correct. Well done. When Cam became the highest point scorer in history last year, whose record? Yes, MG.
Al-Masri.
Yes, he did. 2,418 points. What was Cam Smith's junior club?
MG.
Yes, Ryan.
Logan.
Correct. Where did he play in Melbourne's 2008 grand final? Yes, MG.
He played
halfback. He's not even listening to the question.
Halfback.
He didn't play at all. He was suspended. What was the charge? Yes.
Wrestling.
No,
well,
it was
a grapple tackle on Sam Thaiday. Had carryover points from week one, which meant gave him the second week, which was the grand final. How many games has Cam missed through injury in his NRL career?
MG.
Yes, MG.
8.
It's 11. And would you like to test your buzzer?
They're just jumping in quickly.
We're just trying to get it.
Oh, okay. Funny, is it, Tony? How many of these would you have known?
I've written them all. They're my questions.
What's his middle name?
When was the last time he was out injured?
Oh, a long time ago.
What year? Yes. 2014.
Yep.
See, I knew that one, Em. What AFL team does he support?
MG.
Yes, MG.
Hawthorne.
Correct. What controversial gift came from the NRL?
Emma.
Yes, Emma.
The ring to Barb.
Correct. This is multiple choice. Multiple choice, remember? What is a missing letter in this superstar Australian band AC blank
MG.
C? Yes, MG.
D.
D. Now, I said it was multiple choice, so let me go through the options. A, C, B, D, C, A, or D, B. You've said B. That means it's B, A, C, B, C. That's incorrect.
Yeah.
That's
never going to get that right, was he?
No, it wasn't. Option B is correct, D. Yeah. What was Matt Geyer's line that will forever describe the physical appearance of Cam Smith?
Body of an accountant.
Oh.
A footballer in an accountant's body. That is correct. I think it's a win. For quizzes, we have so much to get to in the next couple of hours. We're going to talk.
Do you know what his middle name is, by the way? Do you know what Cameron Smith's middle name is?
What is his middle name?
Wayne.
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 Cameron Wayne Smith. Is he your buddy, your brother Matt?
Best mates.
Or best mates. They remain strong?
Yes. And at the moment, they're living on the Gold Coast. His kids are going to school, I think, with my youngest niece on the Gold Coast.
No, that is fantastic.
Hold on there.
Then what?
His kids, Cam's kids, are going to school up there.
I think so. Yeah, at Currumbin.
Yeah, that
wouldn't they be further north? Wouldn't they be? Aren't they at Sunshine Coast?
The players are. I don't think that.
Aren't they in the bubble?
So what,
they've
moved the kids. The kids are doing school up there.
I don't know.
MG.
I
think that has been made public before that the kids are doing school up there because that was why there was some speculation about him going on playing for Brisbane next year.
Anyway, I'm just going to add this in case, allegedly.
That covers all sins. Yes, I love it. Emma's brother, Chris Lawrence, is 250th. We'll talk about that. Sterlo, as I said, joins us. Nathan Brown joins us. Just been announced. He will coach the Warriors next year. The interim coach, Todd Payton, also joins us. It is a jam-packed show. Right here is Triple M Rocks the Footy.
The Triple M Saturday Scrum for King G, where comfort is king. Triple M Rocks Footy. Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot, and strong. Install a Ream.